The film Boy Meets Girl centers around a young woman in Kentucky named Ricky. She meets a beautiful young woman named Francesca, who's just arrived in town. In this scene from the movie, Francesca and Ricky are sitting on the bank of a local creek while Robbie, Ricky's friend, is cooling off in the water. Francesca asks Ricky about him.
He's cute. Is he your boyfriend?
No, we've been best friends since like first grade. He works in my dad's garage.
Well, and nothing ever happened? Not even once?
No, he doesn't like...
Like...
Girls like me.
Girls like you. Okay, what's not to like about you? You're gorgeous, funny, smart.
Well, thank you. But he,
Tell her! Tell her!
Drown, you loser!
Hypocrite!
I swear on my mother I will swim out there and drown you myself if you don't shut it.
I'm just saying!
Robbie is alluding to a secret that Ricky hasn't yet revealed to her new friend. That secret and the relationship that develops between these three characters is at the heart of Boy Meets Girl. The film's director, Eric Schaefer, lives part-time in Vermont and filmed much of the movie there. He describes the plot this way.
Boy Meets Girl focuses on Ricky, who's a 22-year-old transgender girl living in Kentucky, and her best friend, Robbie, who's a cisgender boy. And they've been friends their whole life, since they're little kids. And, you know, while she gets tremendous support from her family and her community about being a transgender woman, Robbie is certainly her closest confidant, and they've always been platonic. During the arc of the film, certain things happen, and Ricky sort of meets a cisgender woman named Francesca and starts to experiment with a lesbian relationship, and that sort of makes Robbie go through some feelings that he might not have been aware he had for Ricky. So that's sort of the plot of the movie, is it's about people who are trying to identify their innermost desires and longings and wishes that might be different than the box and compartment that society put them in terms of what they felt they were allowed or appropriate feelings or desires for their sexual orientation, their gender.
It's interesting to hear you talk about it like that because obviously, yes, it is about the boxes that we think people belong in. When you have a character who is very outspoken and open about the fact that she is a transgender woman. But the title of the movie, Boy Meets Girl, the movie itself, is in a lot of ways a really traditional love story. You know, two friends who've been friends for a long time and then have to explore whether they have romantic feelings for one another and how that's going to work for them.
That's why I titled it Boy Meets Girl. I wanted it to be the most sort of cliche, fabulistic, obvious title that we have in our culture for describing the regular old boy meets girl love story, because that's what this movie is at its heart. But clearly there's kind of a new exploration of the subject matter in that the heroine, you know, the lead girl, is a transgender girl. So I wanted the film to fire on many very familiar cylinders so that it would invite audiences, listen, LGBTQ audiences, very liberal audiences, audiences that have transgender people in their lives as friends, as family, those people, I'm singing to the choir or whatever that saying is, mm-hmm. singing to the preacher, preaching to the choir.
There we go.
whatever they're in. But for those folks that might not be as privy or sort of aware of these issues, I wanted them to feel invited in a way that they could identify with the story from the get-go because it was very familiar to them. And that way they could be more open to the ideas expressed in the film.
Have you heard reaction from people who have seen the movie who perhaps aren't as sort of steeped in the LGBT world as that choir that you're talking about is?
So I was in San Diego, and my uncle, who is self-proclaimed, very conservative, ex-cop of many years, and I don't know him that well. I've met him maybe twice in my life. A man in his 50s, late 50s, early 60s, came up to me, and he couldn't be lying because I could visibly see in his eyes the excitement and the genuine nature of his feelings, and they were almost tears in his eyes. And he said he went a far away to disclaim that he is not somebody that likes necessarily these kinds of movies, and he's straight as straight can be, and he's conservative, and he's Republican. And, you know, he said, I love this movie. I cried. And it wasn't just because I was his family, you know. luckily, there haven't been that many kind of reactions because most people aren't so far right and Republican and conservative that have seen it. But I will say that obviously those are the most gratifying responses that I get because those are people who might feel predisposed not only not be open to and identify and like a movie like this, but certainly not love it. And so when those people tell me that they have sort of emotions about the film that are positive, that's obviously, you know, super, super gratifying.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you cast the role of Ricky? It's played by Michelle Hendley, who is a transgender actor, and that's not something that we often see even in roles where a transgender character is featured. Jared Leto in the Dallas Buyers Club played a transgender woman. Jeffrey Tambor has been making waves for his portrayal of a woman in Transparent. Michelle Hendley is a transgender person.
As you say, traditionally, there are not a lot of avenues to find transgender actors. You know, there are a few very famous ones like Laverne Cox, and, you know, she wasn't appropriate for that role. So I had to get creative. So I Googled transgender actor, transgender actress, transgender woman, and went down the various cracks in the cement that doing research on the internet leads you to, and ended up on this YouTube channel of this really beautiful 22-year-old girl living in Missouri named Michelle Hendley, who had all these vlogs about her life and boys and very personal, very intimate about her fashion interests and her Super Mario Brothers Halloween outfit. I mean, very adorable, very cute, very personal. So I got in touch with her and said, listen, I'm a movie director and writer and producer, and would you like to audition for my new film? And she, you know, understandably was dubious because she didn't know my work. So she was like, who is this guy? And I said, you know, look me up on IMDb, put your dad on the phone, like whatever you need to do to vet me, do it. And she did, and very quickly realized it was a completely legitimate film I was talking about. But she never acted in her life, and she was in cosmetology school in Columbia, Missouri. So I started rehearsing with her over Skype, and she got better and better. Then I flew her to New York to workshop the entire script with professional actors. I mean, I put her through the trials, I mean, because she was starring in the movie, and the movie would win or die on her performance. So I sent her to an acting coach in St. Louis, and then I did the more intense scene study with her over Skype and in person. And after 6 months of working really hard, she got good enough that I gave her the part. And then she continued to work and is fantastic in the movie.
This movie is pretty open about the changes that Ricky has gone through physically in her life, and the movie doesn't shy away from what Ricky's body looks like.
I wish I'd been born a genetic girl. I do plan on getting the full surgery someday. It's just so expensive. But for now, I might as well just dance with the one that brung me, right? And it's not really about hating my body, so I've learned to live with it.
And do you like, keep it a secret that you...
Oh, no. I am completely comfortable with who I am, and I like to make sure everybody else in my life is too. So, you know, whether it's a boy or, like you, a new friend, if for any reason it should or does come up, I mean, I just get it right out in the open.
Was that difficult for Michelle to adjust to, given that she hadn't done this kind of acting before?
It was very clear to me for this particular story that character, you know, for reasons that are very endemic, very organic, very beautiful, very loving, very positive and supportive in the story of the film, needed to have a certain level of nudity. I think it's super important and in no way exhibitionist, in no way exploitative. It's the opposite. So from the beginning, I said, listen, you've read the script. And she just agreed with me completely. And quite honestly, in a greater sense, she really feels that it's important to... the whole sort of cause, meaning the whole transgender rights issue and demystifying and demythologizing and breaking down some of the false ideas that people have. So I think that she viewed it as from what she said publicly and privately to me, that she viewed it as something that was as equally important to the film as I did.
I want to play a little clip that gives people a sense of Ricky's personality and her sense of humor in this movie.
So how do y'all know Francesca? Were you away at school together?
Oh, no. I just met her in town. I went to school here, actually.
Oh, so you know David, her fiancé, then?
I didn't really know him.
God, high school in this town. Who can survive it?
Isn't it the truth? I was fat.
I had terrible acne.
And I was a boy, so that sucked.
Eric, you know, Ricky does use a lot of humor to get through her life. In the film, though, she also has a lot of support. Her father is very supportive. Robbie has been a great friend to her whole life. It doesn't necessarily seem like at least the portrayal of what you hear a lot of transgender kids going through. And Ricky certainly has her struggles as well. But there's a lot of good in her life. Why was that important to you to portray?
Well, you know, I did a lot of research. Well, and by a lot, I mean, I researched as much as I could when I was writing the script. I really believe that when you write from the heart, that's something that crosses and cuts across all gender, age, race, religion lines, sexual orientation lines. But I did want to make sure that I wasn't off base in any way, as best I could, with an organic transgender girl's, 22-year-old transgender girl's experience. So I interviewed as many transgender women as I could find during the auditioning process, and certainly once Michelle was cast, you know, I vetted the script with her. You know, and also wanting to turn every cliche I could on its head in this film. I think it's safe to say that Northeastern cities have less bigotry than some cities, some towns in the South still. I don't think that I'd get much of an argument on that. But it is absolutely untrue to say and unfair to say that rural America doesn't have massive pockets of people who are extremely loving towards everybody in their communities. So that was one stereotype that I actually found to be very untrue in some of the transgender women, including Michelle, that I interviewed, that were from Virginia, that were from Missouri, that were from small towns. And they said, you know, I was wonderfully, pleasantly surprised when I said, were you bullied? Were you beaten up? And they were like, not really. Like, you know, I have a great family that supports me and a little brother. And I, like, you know, I deliver pizzas at the store. And, you know, when I was in, that's my job. Or when I went to college, in high school, I dated the football players. Like, they really reported a lot of quote unquote normal kind of circumstances in their lives. And so that was great. And I did want to sort of portray that. Obviously, you know, that's not every trans person's story. I interviewed 6 or 7 or 8 trans women. So that's a small, extremely small cross-section of that community, but at least it was a start. And there seemed to be a lot of similarities in that there was a lot of love and a lot of support. So in trying to portray a transgender woman's story, I wanted to show that. And again, Michelle agreed with me. She's like, it's so great to just have a movie where, God forbid, the transgender character is not a prostitute, not a, you know, a criminal, not in prison. Not that those stories can't be told in a way that makes it a valid and important film or TV show. Of course not. I mean, Orange is the New Black is a great show. And so Laverne Cox's character is incarcerated. But I'm just saying, mm-hmm. To show a transgender woman in a positive light with a community and family that love her, I think was very important and not completely at all untrue to many, many transgender people's experience.
The movie takes place in Kentucky, but certainly sharp-eyed Vermont watchers will notice that the Jamaica Coffee House, for one thing, where Ricky works, seems to feature a lot of Vermont peanut butter products. And there's a scene in which a car drives by and what looks like a Vermont license plate, not the blue license plate of Kentucky. You did quite a bit of filming in southern Vermont.
I did, yes. And you're the one member of the audience out of 150 that is the continuity buster and talks about the license plate. No one's brought up the peanut butter. That is an eagle eye that you own the big prize for. But, you know, and there's a saying in the film business, if they're looking at that, they're looking at the exit sign, you know, in the theater.
Oh, well, but I certainly wasn't.
I know you weren't. And I'm just saying that I know that it's, you know, people have brought it up luckily, most people don't notice that. And, you know, hey, the father's in the movie, his character's a mechanic, so he could be working on cars that have license plates from all over America.
Sure.
But yes, the reason I shot in Vermont was because when you make a low-budget movie, you have to exercise every possible penny-pinching thing you can to make the film. And since I have a house in Vermont, and I've shot, actually, this is the third of my 9 films I've shot predominantly in Vermont, I figured rather than trucking everybody down to Kentucky, you know, it'd be a lot easier and much cheaper. And the community was so super supportive and generous to help us get the film shot there that's why I shot in Southern Vermont. And geographically, it approximates Kentucky really well with the beautiful low rolling hills and streams and horses. And so to the average viewer, there's absolutely no misunderstanding of sort of geographically where the film takes place.
Eric Schaefer is the filmmaker behind Boy Meets Girl. Eric, thank you so much for talking with us about the film.
Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time and having the interest, Jane. It was terrific.
Boy Meets Girl will be available on demand and on DVD next month. We have a link to the movie's website at vpr.net.